black. Black hair. Long. Back of a woman's head. Passing from us. Black suit. High shoulders. Black. Wasp waist. Skirt. Black. Stockings. Black back seam. Black high heels. Sound of them. Tap, tap, tap.
The Love Song of Alfred J. Hitchcock.
Black. Yes. She passing slowly from us. Tap, tap of her heels. Away down that empty street. Black high shoulders, wasp waist, black so tight you could strangle her there. On down her to the stockings, black back seam, black high heels, tap, tap. Yellow in this, yellow somewhere. In this street, something yellow. Image black and yellow, danger signal, colours of alarm.
Richard Griffiths as Alfred Hitchcock. Michael Fitzgerald as the camera.
Parking lines, the no parking lines, yellow, double. She walking away along them there, obsessionally. No, must be down the middle of the No, street wrong. Needed empty either side of her. Emptiness, lifeless.
Text, David Rudkin.
Deck of a ship. Yes. Deck of a ship looking forward. Long foredeck before us. Forward. Yellow painted line she's walking. Don't know yet what. But yes. Yes, in black costume and black a suitcase she's carrying. Yes. All ship still. Empty, silent, sea unreal. Either side of her and away to the horizon. Water, cold, grey and still. Not real water, painted. Yes, studio foredeck of a ship amid ocean, painted on glass. Yes. Yes.
Sound, Mark Decker. Music, Bernard Herrmann.
Foreshorten the deck. Note for design converging lines. Me just that touch too near. Something about this ship obscurely wrong. Make audience uneasy.
Director, Philip Martin.
No, black wrong, black suit wrong, tells us she's bereaved, worse, a widow, not black, yet black I first saw, why? Black must be the effect, memo for wardrobe, fabric, in close shot, not quite black, but as she moves from us to give effect of black.
Beverly Hills, California, 1980. Tuesday, April 29th, 9:17 a.m. Dead. Alfred Joseph Hitchcock. Film maker, age 81, my beloved husband. Since 1962, head of Alfred J. Hitchcock Productions, Incorporated, MCA Universal. Producer-director there. 6 motion pictures. Flashback. 1953, June. Producer-director. 9 picture deal with Paramount. Non-exclusive. 6 pictures completed, plus 1 single picture deal meanwhile with MGM. Flashback. 1949. Producer-director. 4 picture deal with Warner Brothers. Flashback.
Hello. Ship deck wrong. Sea wrong. Need somewhere around her more every day. Somewhere the audience are every day. Yet here obscurely like a dream. Bad dream. And sound wrong. No echo possible at sea. Need sound on stone. Heard her name then. M something. Oh, leave it. It will come.
Camera. Still, late Victorian brown and white. Late 19th century shop frontage. Fruit and vegetable display. Feature, pineapples hanging. Name on fascia, W. Hitchcock. Foreground, cobbled Victorian street. A horse and cart. Camera. Still. Oval framed, late Victorian brown and white. Family group. Father standing. Stoutish, straight. Heavy moustache. Piercing dark eyes. Mother seated. Smart, sedate. Gentler brown eyes. A smile on her face. Somewhat knowing. A smile we've seen on another face we know much better. Pull back. Before father and mother, standing, a boy, aged about 9, a little sister, about 7. On smiling mother's lap, held sitting up, back straight, a new arrival, staring at us. Big, fat, baby. Big dark eyes.
A railway platform. She's on a railway platform. Of course. Empty. Still. Dead. As in a dream. Those are railway lines that converge too near. Train stands silent either side. Still. Blank. Blind. As in a nightmare. Yes. Yellow's the painted line along the platform edge. That she's walking away from us. Black clad, black haired figure of her. Shape of sin. Obsessionally walking the yellow line. We, a little after, following, hanging back. Who are we, following her? Camera only, audience eye? Or, in the story, someone, a man, following her? Why? Man in the story, who is he? And her name. I heard it again. Leave it. It will come. It will come.
Flashback. 1948. London. Producer-director, two films, Alfred's first in colour, for his own first company, Transatlantic, formed with Sidney Bernstein. Flashback. 1938. Black and white days. Director, first Hollywood contract. Hired on renewable option terms by David O. Selznick, subleased by Selznick to RKO, Fox, Universal.
Camera. Black and white. Flecked and scratchy. Dark domestic interior foreground. Lit further interior beyond. Icon of mother and child there. Mrs. Emma Hitchcock, joggling on her lap, the big fat baby.
Who's his mother's baby? Who's his mother's boy?
Glossary of film terms. Track. To move the camera bodily, mounted on special rails, as e.g. following a character in movement. Reverse. The complementary viewpoint, e.g. a shot looking back at the person following.
Black figure of you passing before me there. Something not right about you. What do the Germans say? Unheimlich. Saw the man then, glimpsed a reverse on him, following. No one, nothing following. But she there. Track after, slowly. Track. That's right, you pause there. By your mark, turn to face leftward, yet the direction of wrong. Rest that black suitcase down. Whatever your name.
My name is June.
My name is Annie Ondra.
My name is Joan Barry. Madeleine Carroll. Madeleine Carroll. Madeleine Carroll. Madeleine Carroll. Nova Pilbeam.
Joan Fontaine.
Lorraine Day.
Carol Lombard. Joan Fontaine.
Priscilla Lane.
Ingrid Bergman. Ingrid Bergman. Ingrid Bergman.
Anne Baxter.
Grace Kelly. Grace Kelly. Grace Kelly.
Camera. Black and white. Close shot. Apartment. Gothic lettering. St. Ignatius College, Stamford Hill. Hitchcock AJ, Form 1B. In Latin, French, English, and religious education. Distinction. Signed, Father Newdigate, S.J., Principal, July this year of grace, 1911. Camera. Black and white. Low angle shot. Grim, dark tower. Against large, angry sky.
Who did that?
Who threw that? Who's broken Father Newdigate's window? Who's thrown that egg through the principal's window?
Gould! Heenan! Hitchcock!
Interior. Gloom. The principal at his desk. Other priests behind him. Before them, a fat boy, aged about 12.
To break a window is one matter, with a ball, with a stone, Hitchcock, A.J., but with an egg.
I hate eggs, Father. I hate eggs.
For that you break a window with one. Have you thought what it is, Hitchcock? The egg? God's earnest of regeneration, and you would use it to destroy? Oh, I can hear God howl in his heaven. You know what must happen to a bad little boy.
Yes, Father.
You may report for your correction now, or any time later till the end of the day. Appoint your hour.
End of the day, Father.
Are you sure? Till 4:20? You choose to hold yourself in suspense all that long. Till 4:20? When you could be quit of your agony now. Look. Look out at that window here. Look out toward that chapel tower. Look up toward the clock there. The face of the clock. That minute hand. Look close. Its point. It's moving. It overtakes the shorter hand beneath. It draws that after. Watch close enough. You'll swear you see the pointer even of that shorter hand advancing. From that 12 of noon there toward that one, yet all this while you're thinking, how is it time can pass at all? How can that future, other moment ever be here when this second, this instant, this present now is lasting so long? Yet think only that, and that second has already gone. Think that, and that second's gone. And look, the hour hand is already past the 2, advancing on the 3. Next into view, the tip of that 4 shall slowly rise, and then, like the neck of a hanging man, each minute will stretch and stretch. And in those final minutes, so few of them, each second, each now, will stretch. And look, the angel of that hour hand sides the seconds too. He's coming after, downwards, toward that 4. Till there, before your terror-stricken, gaping eyes, the angle of the long and shorter hands begin to close tighter and tighter toward that one configuration that is 4:20. As though they pray, those hands, declined and submissive to the coming agony. And it won't be nice, Hitchcock, will it?
I'll still wait, Father. Between now and then, the end of the world could come.
I wouldn't bank on it, laddie. I'll enter you in the book, then. 4:20, for correction, Hitchcock, A.J.
Close my eyes. Close my eyes and see. Enter my dream. Wait for her. Oh, here I live. Here. There, look. There. Passing down the empty street again. Street. Beside long wall there. Can't see. Track after. After. What bell is that? Saw him. Reverse on the man. Caught sight of him. Gone. But glimpsed him following. Face white. No features. Face no features. So it must be me. In the dream.
Cary Grant.
James Stewart. James Stewart.
Cary Grant.
Robert Donat.
Joseph Cotton.
Farley Granger.
Robert Walker.
James Stewart.
Cary Grant. Cary Grant.
James Stewart.
Camera. Black and white. Overhead angle high above the studio floor. Far below us there, a multitude. Activity. Set being redressed, relit. Tracking rails adjusted. A retake being prepared. Gradually, we descend. Above the lights, the booms, the heads of the people, each at their task, toward a figure down there, seated upright, facing this way, still, unmoving, alone of them all. White shirt, dark tie with diagonal broad stripe, dark trousers, back erect, paunchy belly, hands on knees, large head, balding, eyes there, toward that eye, no, pan a little, tighten, in, upon this, other, eye.
Mr. Hitchcock, this chair says I am. Does anyone here know me? This is not Mr. Hitchcock. Does Mr. Hitchcock waddle as I do? Speak in this chimerical voice? Baroque cockney that never was. Where are real Mr. Hitchcock's eyes? I have murdered Mr. Hitchcock. Left him lying deep in some crevasse above. Lost from light beneath a lifetime of cold virgin snow, in shadow of a monstrous angel's wing. And these, think I, am he, the living Hitchcock. Take me for him. While who am I? Amnesiac imposter, drifting amongst these all, like one undead.
Ready to go.
Hitchcock, these are calling me. Director of this madhouse. Cabinet of Dr. Hitchcock. Who is there here? And tell me who I am.
Flashback. 1937. Alfred's first visit to America. Contacts with Selznick, MGM, RKO. A two-film contract, meanwhile, with Gainsborough Pictures, Pinewood Studios, London, England. Flashback. 1934. Five-film contract with Gaumont British, Lime Grove Studios, London, England. Flashback.
Fred? Fred, son, that you?
Yes, Mother.
Come
Come up here, Fred. Come to your mother.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it'd be you. I heard your footfalls in the street. Don't you want to kiss your mother? You've been a bad boy at school.
No.
No who?
No mother.
You're coming home so late. It's after six. You had me worrying.
I just saw Dad to speak to. He wasn't worried.
Your father. Fred, don't fidget. Your hand in your trouser pocket like that. Leave that. Is it so boring to talk to me? Stand at the foot of the bed there and answer your mother. Look at me.
I am mother. Looking at you.
You've been lingering in the street.
No, I don't.
Talking with those girls in the street?
What girls?
You know. The ones who sit on that long wall and call out suggestions.
They jeer at me. How fat I am. They call
me. You're
not
fat.
I don't walk past them anymore, Mother. I come another way not to hear them.
There's my boy. You come another way.
Along beside that wall there. Pale, high, long wall. She paler too. Grey is it she's wearing. Grey. And her hair. This fog. Can't see. Eyelids too heavy to open my eyes. Him coming after. Tall, slim, lean, lovely Hitchcock walks so easy after. She there. Gone. Where? Through that dark gateway deep in the wall. Track after. Track. Him. Reverse on him. Come following after. Closer. Face. Still no features. He's wearing... Can't see the shadows here. Note for wardrobe. Suit bluish brown to disappear in shadows. Dark gateway there. Track near. Gateway. Dark.
Well, someone has said to him, follow my wife. This man you see following her. Her husband has hired him.
She's sleeping with another man. The husband thinks she's screwing another man, you mean? How dull.
Camera. Two shot. Hitchcock, facing us. Seated upright at his desk. Shirt sleeves white. Dark tie. Unfocused in foreground, his back to us, a second man. Presumably a screenwriter. Never clearly seen.
Well, sleeping with another man, how dull. Find something better to have him follow her. A stronger reason, a stranger reason.
So he's following her. He's a private detective?
Don't know yet. Why has the husband chosen him? Of all men, why him?
Some quality.
Why chosen him has to come from the detective's character. The reason why him.
Some special strength, you mean?
No. A weakness. A weakness in the detective flaw.
Oh, I see.
I have no cock.
What? Sorry?
I said, young man, I have no cock.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hitchcock. How did that, hit, you mean?
What is the deepest insult? A husband, a man can pay to another. Can you pay an insult? You pay a compliment. What's the...
You deal in insults?
Deepest insult one man can pay another. I know I can trust you with my wife because I know you never touch her. Could never touch her. Eunuch, you see.
You mean...
The husband could never say that when hiring him, choosing him. But he knows. He knows that our detective figure, he can't. He couldn't ever. You see?
I see. No, detective impotence. No. That's too crude. The reason must be more subtle than that.
Work on it.
Yes.
He has a phobia about women, you see. Our leading man, a phobia of women. No. He's not a homosexual. That's too easy. And the audiences wouldn't care about that. That's dull. Homosexuals are villains in my universe, just as so are people who wear glasses, left-handed people, lame people, melodrama, shorthand. I was brought up on melodrama, laddie. Edwardian London. The villain limped and came on in a green light. No, but the detective has this hang-up. Phobia, which you will provide. He's tall, lean, lithe, and easy.
Not easy, surely.
Not easy. The character. He's reaching, but he can't touch. Never see him and the woman in the same shot together. Always cut and reverse. Her, him. Her going away from us, her back to us always. He coming towards us. Her going from us. He coming towards us. Her leaving him. Coming. You see? Separate shots. The camera keeps them apart.
But you have to see them in the same shot sometime. Detective and the woman, he has to touch her sometime, or else...
Yes, but not till 40 minutes in. Keep them waiting.
I'll make some notes a moment.
Camera. Very close now. Back of screenwriter's head. Out of focus. Obscuring all but screen left half of Hitchcock's face. Sharp focus. That one eye visible. Turning to look. To think. Elsewhere.
Impotence. I, Alfred J. Hitchcock, pass through the world, touching nothing. A phantom. These people pass through me like ghosts, double exposures. But I'm the ghost. It is that world, all flesh. Behind every door in this street, behind every closed door here, every blackened window, every curtain shutting out my eye, up to all sorts. bodies. Bodies of flesh. Men, women, naked with each other. Action, they call it, with tongues, lips, teeth, and things working their way into, inserting into slimy slots.
Saying it's going to take an awful lot of screen time to bring the two of them to...
Can't say fallacy.
What?
Camera. Easing back to bring screenwriter on screen again. His back to us still.
Something he'll need to describe as a fallacy, but he can't. Our impotent man.
Where does he need to...
When it comes to say fallacy... He can't say it. Phallus in it, you see. Mm. Work that in somewhere. Hmm? Dialogue. Actually, that belief's a
fantasy.
Falsehood, no.
Falsity?
Falsity. That's it. Good work. That's a falsity. Echo of breasts. His phobia. He can't say phallus, you see.
I'll find a slot for it. I was saying, if he has a phobia of women, it'll be a while to get a romance off the ground.
Oh, but he can fall in love with her. With his phobia of women, he should have a terrible, a raging desire for them. He has a raging desire. Angry.
Well, that can go with a fear.
Well, it does.
What is this film about? Is our film about the breaking down of a fear? Perhaps he can't touch her because she's wearing a certain color. Red. No, that's aggressive. Red's wrong. Red's blood. That's wrong. Because if it was a color, he'd, to touch her, to take her, have to persuade her to change the color she was wearing before he could. He'd have to persuade her to wear something else.
Oh, now, that's interesting. Because, you see, making someone wear something, put something on, oh, just simple, a new color. You see, sex scenes on screen, they are immoral. Why? Because they don't work. If they're faked, they're false. If they're real, they're not art. Either way, they exclude the audience. Sex scenes and murder scenes are a similar moral problem. You have to find a way of making visible on screen the moral meaning of what's happening. Now, you make that woman up there on the screen, you make her not strip, you see, but put something new and lovely on. Oh, that's interesting. Now the audience can contribute from their own desires, their dreams.
And the women in the audience, their dreams. Hmm?
Well, that's a big question, a very big question. Do I see all my images as a man? They mirror only my dreams as a male.
Where you're images are coming from Hitch. You're a man there.
No, no. Where my images are coming from, no. I feel like neither man nor woman there. Actually, sometimes I feel I'm a woman. Dreaming these things, I am a woman. I have down here a womb hatching these dreams. Anyway, if she agrees, our lady up there on screen, to put on a new color, there's something there, isn't there? A woman's dreams will recognize. We do say changing. Oh, I like that. No, I like that. He's having to come to life himself. He is changing her.
How on earth can we bring this story to that point?
We all the writer.
Screenplay by Ernest Lehman.
Screenplay, Anthony Schaefer.
By Samuel Taylor.
Written by Brian Moore.
Screenplay, written...
J. Preston Allen.
Elliot Stannard. Ben W. Levy.
And Charles Bennett.
Alma Revel. Alma Revel. Alma Revel. Alma Revel.
Evan Hunter.
Joseph Stefano.
Ernest Lehman.
Alec Koppel.
And Samuel Taylor.
Maxwell Anderson.
And Angus MacPhail.
John Michael Hayes. John Michael Hayes. John Michael Hayes.
Where's this I am? Strange hazed light about me. Color. Shapes of bushes. Dark as you. She there. Gray form among the flowers. Hair. Palest gold. Man now, emerge from your shadows. Man, step gently after her among the... Oh, she's there. Among shapes of tombstones, obelisks and graves, among colors of flowers. Pull away. Flinch back, man, not to be seen in your brownish blue suit that disappears beneath cypress and yew. Lean, hungry man, reaching after her soul. She yonder, never. Never for you to touch. You cannot touch anyone. She there. Strange haze here. Can't quite see. She in grey there. Hair such pale golden. Pausing, pale gold head bowed there in the soft hazed sunlight. All about these graves and flowers, hazed light so soft, a fragrance visible. So sad the beauty here, such loveliness, I weep. Note for when I awake, green fog filter for graveyard scene. Look there. Look there. She stands as though to... for me to see how she is lovely. And to savage my heart. Back, back, man, into shadow. She turns this way. Flinch, shame into shadow. To be not seen.
The Humour of Alfred Hitchcock. Letter from a mother.
Dear Mr. Hitchcock, my daughter refuses to wash. She saw that French film, The Fiends, and is too terrified to take a bath. At least she showered. Now she seems psycho. What do I do?
Have her dry cleaned.
A young actress, anxious to have her better profile to the camera.
Mr. Hitchcock, which do you think is my best side?
You're sitting on it.
Camera. Black and white. Before angry sunset sky. A dark, grim church tower. Interior. Church. Night. From behind high altar, yonder, a black-robed figure coming. The priest.
Who is there?
The empty pews before him. Shadowed. Dark. Priest brings lighted candle. Comes. Sees. In pale cast of the candlelight, in space below the confessional door there, the shoes of a man sitting within.
What do you want?
Father, I wish to confess. I wish to make a confession, Father.
Interior. Confessional. Priest already passing from camera to sit. Kiss stole and place about his neck and wait. Beyond the grill, in stall adjoining, the pale, large face of Hitchcock, latticed in shadow. Obscure.
I confess to Almighty God and to you, Father, that I have sinned.
What do you wish to confess?
My guilt.
Of what are you guilty, my son?
Of guilt. I am guilty of guilt.
Say what you have done.
I have abused an egg.
What?
I have stabbed a burning cigarette out in the yolk of a fried egg.
Is this what you...
No, Father, no, no. I did it to blaspheme. The egg is our earnest of God's regenerating power. I stabbed the burning spit into that, as into the eye of God himself. I did it to hear him howl. I had a mother do it. Dragon mother.
My son, what are you doing? What's that noise? What's happening in there?
I'm trying to sit with my feet off the floor. Someone in the church out there could see my feet beneath the door. I don't want anyone thinking that I, who I am, have that necessity to come in here to... Father, I confess. I have murdered my mother, my wife. I mean, I have murdered my wife.
One. Killed her, you say? How?
I close my eyes. Here I live within this head.
Camera. Close on the huge, white, shadow-latticed landscape of his face. Obscure,
Oh, what must a poor woman do whose man lives only in his images? I cannot live. I can only create. I cannot be.
A young actor disputing a point with his director on the set.
But Mr. Hitchcock, you can't ask me to do that. That goes against everything my mother taught me.
Does it? Have her destroyed.
Flashback. 1927. Multi-picture deal with British International, Elstree Studios, England. Salary, £13,000 a year. Flashback. 1926. December 2nd, a Thursday. At Brompton Oratory, London, England. Alfred's marriage to Alma Lucy Revel, one day his junior. Screenwriter, script consultant, film editor, continuity advisor. Red hair. Our wedding day. Flashback. 1925. Three film contract with Gainsborough Pictures, England. Flashback, same year. Anelka Studios, Munich, Germany. Alfred's first credit as director. The Pleasure Garden. Alfred insists on transforming the international star, the brunette Virginia Valley, to a blonde. 1924. Assistant director on Anglo-German co-production UFA Berlin. Observes the working method and aesthetic of the great expressionist director Friedrich Murnau. 1922. Assistant director, script editor, art director, costumes and props supervisor, Balkan Saville Friedman Victory Films, Islington Studios, London. 1920. Part-time piecework, designing silent dialogue titles and captions for famous players Lasky Studio, Islington. 1919.
Yours was the soul, sir.
What?
Dover soul, sir.
Ah.
Come, flatfish. Enter this right round O of flesh I am, Jack. Change my middle name, Alfred O. Hitchcock. Initials on my tie, A.O.H. Mr. Hitchcock, what's the offer? Nothing. Use it somewhere.
Potato, sir.
Alfred, nothing. Right round eye, bound in a chair. Hitchcock, I, nothing am.
Enjoy your meal, sir.
Phantom this nothing. Fodder this loathsome eating and excreting flesh. I hate my flesh. I'll flay it from me, dangle it all, a shriveled hide, down screen right in signature's corner, and daub on it my doleful face. There's Hitchcock, there he goes. Fat round Hitchcock on a slimming ad, fat round outline on a neon sign. Fancy struggling with a double bass to board a train. Once I was only half my back framed off screen left. They knew me. Once in the back of a bus, framed or screenwrite. A glimpse of my ear alone. And the tribes of men shrieked out as one. Heat! Heat! Heat indeed. What's in a name? William may shake his spear. A hitch in my cock. No joking. I'll rend my name out asunder on that screen one day. Frame by frame, I'll crumble it apart to nothing. Directed by Alfred Hitchcock. Direct Fred Hitchcock. Wrecked Red Cock. Fine bird. Private joke. No one will see. Oh, they'll see. But they don't see. Good. Hitchcock, invisible, all his hell, pellucid. All they see, a fat round goblin leering out of it. There's Hitchcock. There he is.
Something the trouble, sir?
Nothing. Eat on. Food be the solace of my life. Open mouth. Bite, champ, and masticate. Grind, mandicate, congurgitate, and intrasume. Ingest and transubstantiate. Fish into Hitchcock. Feed my face. And this same mouth would do the kissing, too. All kissing's but a parody of eating. The love act, but a picane excreting. And food's a parody of... Oh, look. She, there, standing from the table, dinner time. With the blonde hair. She's turning to face this way, to come this way. Oh, she is. Oh. Hitch, hang your head. You don't exist in her creation. A beauty like that. She comes toward you from your dream. Toward you. Oh, feel the essence of her. Close. The husband signed the bill. He's coming after. Drape the costly stole he's bought. About the yoke of those shoulders he's bought too. So milky smooth. Gone now. She and he passed now. Gone. How shoot that? Wide single on me, seeing. Long shot, she coming. Close on me, turning screen rightward away, eyes down away. Close on she, not seeing, pausing. Passing. Cross the line now. Cut to my opposite profile. Turning leftward now on screen. Gazing up after. Head turned indeed. gazing after. Long shot, far doors there, closing on the two of them. She gone. The vision gone. Change that dress, though. Should be deep sea green, blue in it. And the hair, almost platinum white. Location? 21 Club, New York. Now, need red decor. Deep red, burgundy. Ernie's, San Francisco. Like Ernie's. Any old excuse to film there. Ah.
Medium close shot. A man sitting opposite him, Hitchcock has not seen arrive. The stranger smiles.
They're not worth the misery, friend. No woman is. Predators, every last one.
Hell.
Oh, she'll tempt you. Slink into your sight all suave and serpentine. Lead you by the balls of fine fantango. Off the map in a direction that no compass knows.
His feet foul mine. I pull my legs in. Far as I can. In. In. And still his feet foul mine. How long can a stranger's legs be on any train?
I have a theory. To strangle a woman is a... is an act of Congress. The grip of your hands around her throat is the grip of her. Your tightening hands are her sex. And her throat is your... Her throat you stroke and choke. There is your sex, you see.
Small motif on his tie. Pair of clutching claws.
I strangled a woman one night. Young woman. Bad. Wore glasses, I remember. Off to the fun fair with a man on each side of her. What were they thinking they'd be up to, huh? Three of them. I followed them to their quiet place they found. Shadowed them there. Couples all about me, thrashing and twining in the dark. I could hear... I loitered, unseen, behind the three of them. Him, her, and him. Waited till he and he went off to buy her something, I suppose. Ice cream, candy floss, some fellatio metaphor, no doubt. I stepped out in front of her. Close shot, smiling, all my charm. Is your name... something, her name. I can't remember. Is your name that, I asked? I grabbed her throat. As we were, as I, because after, when I finished, as I pulled away, I observed in those disembodied convex lenses fallen on the grass, myself, reflected, distorted, bulging, hands hanging, huge, distended. How right, I thought.
accurate image. Hands were all that I had been just then. And those blind lenses of convex glass were all of her that did the seeing, though.
I'm dreaming him. Cut. Cut, I say. He stands before me, blotting out the light. Cut. Wake me. Wake me. He's pressing on my chest. He's breathing on my face. Hot breath of hell, squeezing the life from me. And all about the tours, his demon horses, wild wooden horses of his lust, prancing, rearing, necks stiff, erect, white staring eyes, bobbing and sinking, dig and press their hooves about my head. Cut! Cut! Fade! Dissolve! God! The strangler's leering smile, the last to fade. Oh, loosen a little this tie.
Dessert, sir.
Do
pardon my asking, sir, but you are...
No. I've often taken for Alfred Hitchcock. Sometimes to frighten people, I pretend I am. But I lie. Consider yourself reprieved, young man. I hear the real Hitchcock's a murderous bastard.
Glossary of film terms. Insert. Short shot, e.g., close on a detail, edited into a larger shot. Tight. Visually close.
Now, when she glides in... No, she's already in the room. He's asleep in his chair. We cut to her already in the room with him, entered soundlessly, come to kiss him awake. We cut in tight on her, and she's smiling.
The first time we see her...
No, wait. First, her shadow on his sleeping face.
Won't that suggest he is ominous?
Her shadow is waking him. There's nothing gentler than her shadow here to do the waking. And his smile, when he opens his eyes and sees it is she, such a smile on him. So young, so coming, so tenderly alive. Boy, almost. Boy. Yes. Is it too early? Studio don't know I'll keep this little store.
These shots make lovely sense, but her shadow waking him suggests, at the start, a woman's dangerous.
She is. She comes to blow his boyhood asunder. Well, she is dangerous. Love is murderous to male evasions. She comes to make a man of him. Is that a heresy these days? Now, her hair must be down. Styled. Contained, you see. But free for his hand to enter it, you see, disturb it. Her hair so perfect, just asking to be tousled.
The women in your audience, the...
I was at a Jesuit school. Jansenists at my beginning. Feminists at my end. All for our feeling guilt about this thing. Now, the dress, her dress, must be green. Green for go. Natural. But element of yellow in it, still. Touch of alarm. Beware. What the feminists won't notice, their spectacles so steamed up, camera will move rightward with her on her entrance into the scene, the way our Western eyes have learned to read, direction of nature to us. We'll read her without knowing as a good force, true. She'll lean down rightward in to kiss him, and down upon him in his chair.
But is this her character? To come to him like this...
Don't be deceived. This woman, all ice. Within, all fire.
The storyline...
I have a scene. I have a scene. He takes her home to his mother.
He has a mother now? Our detective has a mother now?
Now that a girl's becoming important to him, of course we see the mother now. That brings the mother into the picture, you could say. And she resembles the girl in looks. Older mother version. They have to overlap in his psychology for him to have to separate them.
Well, I'm...
Now, I have a scene. He takes this wonderful new female creature home for dinner to meet his... And a plate gets broken. No, a glass, a precious glass, mother's wedding present one, gets broken. It's a family symbol, you see. Broken now, yes. Here's the shot. Look, mother's standing... Her back to us a little. The precious pieces of her broken precious glass in her left and her right. And we're a little above her. Camera behind her, looking down on her a little. She's sad.
Behind her, we can't see her face.
No need. The camera looks down on her grey head and turns a little with her. That makes the audience feel pity. Hey, presto, she is sad. Now, the point is, once you've broken this glass...
It says the mother's supremacy is over.
So how, when they drink next, can they use a glass again? That's a problem. We can't even show a glass again.
We can avoid them drinking again.
Well, no, that's ducking it. We've broken a glass. Now, what do we do with that? How do we build that broken glass into our image system?
Are you sure this is in our film?
It's all one film, laddie. First to last, the one long dream.
We have to heal the glass.
What, mend it? With glue?
No, no, Hitch. What I mean, restore the glass with a new meaning. We have to bring the glass back into the narrative, identified with the new relationship. Son and girl now. She has to... But a cup would be better.
Ah, a cup.
More domestic.
Ah, now, a cup.
A cup. More the mother. I mean, yes, now.
More woman to woman. A cup. It's a cup was broken. And the girl.
Now, the girl... Oh, yes, now you see. The cup is right because the girl must bring the mother a cup. Not a new one, a gift to replace the other one, but in ordinary family use. One of the old cups, indeed, but she brings it as one of the family, now herself, linking her and the mother in relationship. That you mean?
She brings y'all back a cup of tea in bed. The mother takes ill and the girl does that, something like that. You work it out. Good. Well, that's a scene I've done for you. You knock up some dialogue for the actresses to say. I keep the tray with the cup up foreground. Tense angles between the mother and girl at first. Shot by shot, I make the angles easier. Everyone will feel mother and daughter are being reconciled. Mother and son's woman, I mean. Oh, Alma liked your new opening sequence, by the way.
Oh, thank you. You must thank her for me, huh?
Only two women I could ever have married. Her, I did. She... I keep coming back to this grave.
Sorry?
Graveyard scene. Beautiful graveyard. Hayes filter. He's following her at a distance, tracking her. Actually, she's leading him. He doesn't know. One day he comes, she's not there. There before him, an open grave. I see that. Can it be her grave, do you think? How can that be? I don't know. Your problem. But... do you think in the middle of the picture she could die? She dies.
You kill off your leading lady halfway through?
No. That would be for God to tear the universe in half. Those millions out there would be appallingly afraid. Nothing so irrationally horrible, but it could happen then. Quite existentialist. No, we could never do that. But she brings him to that grave.
It's quite some storyline you're asking of me. A detective with sex anxiety shadowing another man's wife. His mother, a broken cup, an open grave. None of this, none of these meanings are in the book.
The book? I buy the book. I take the book, digest it, and I dream. You, the writer, articulate my dream. Between us, we show that world a dream they do not know they dream. Up there on the screen, they see it and they recognize. Book.
From my play, Our Two Consciences, Paul Amphill.
From my novel, Patricia Highsmith.
From two of my stories, Outrun the Constable and Man Running, Selwyn Jepson.
From my novel, Helen Simpson.
Play, Patrick Hamilton.
Novel, Robert Hitchens.
My novel, The House of Dr. Edwards.
Story, John Steinbeck.
My story idea.
Novel, Before the Fact.
Picturization of my celebrated novel, Rebecca.
The Giving of Alfred J. Hitchcock.
To a knight of the English theatre, on occasion of a West End opening, a horse, delivered to my dressing room.
To a favoured screenwriter for the guest wing at our home in Maine, a noiseless lavatory.
To an unfavoured properties man, handcuffed to a studio camera all night for a dare, a flagon of brandy, laced with laxative.
Summary of the estate of Alfred Joseph Hitchcock as of April 29th, 1980, the day of his decease. Major city and county bond holdings, Los Angeles and San Francisco. Major shareholdings in MCA Universal. Oil wells, gas wells in U.S. and Canada. Beef farms, cattle numbering 2,500 head. Percentage income on 18 pictures. original artworks, painting, sculpture, by, among others, Dubuffet, Epstein, Clay, Rodin, Rouault, Utrillo. 66 cases of wine laid down.
On his abrupt retirement, May 9, 1979, and termination without notice of our employment, provision made to Peggy Robertson, née Singer, personal assistant to Mr. Hitchcock for 22 years, nothing.
To Suzanne Gautier, personal secretary to Mr. Hitchcock for 25 years, nothing.
Follow her. Track after her. Stay tight on her. Oh, chaos is come. My rage. These raging hands. Hands raging to up and stroke and crush them. No, these hands not touch her, no, unclean, a cloth, ritual white cloth about her throat, and tight, quieter this street, stay back in shadow here. You there, in long shot in the light, little you know. You have a hook through my gut and haul me after. Oh, my rage, my pain, my rage, my need, my pain, my rage. God, dream this. Informative. Remember it. Must. How it is feeling to be this character, sick in soul, and the wretchedness, helpless, drawn into the dark noon of the day, into that dark doorway there, track, where she is gone. Cut. Interior. Up. Up.
Fred?
Up this wooden staircase. Up. Always up. Up. Winding up. 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 The tension that uncoils in a killing.
Fred, son, that you?
Yes, brother.
And a music for this, dragging up, up, as dragging upward the body itself, body of this death.
Come to your mother.
Oh, very good dream, this. I am seeing everything so clear. Understanding how it is to be this. This that I am. Cut now to her in there alone. Business woman. Beyond her office door of frosted glass, black letters of her name on it, whatever her name, no matter. In here, it is reversed, illegible, correct. No meaning to her now, her name, a name of no one now. There at her desk, painting her face. Look up, whatever your name. Look up and see. Beyond the blurring glass black shape of me. Your death is here at noon of the day, your darkness coming.
What do you want? Who are you? What do you want?
I want what I come to do. What I do to come. Yes. Lovely. Oh, I'm feeling it now. The madness. Lovely. Up with my white cloth. Lovely. This cloth is my love life. Up we come. Oh, the bleakness of this scene, the desolation. I have so much loving in me. I'm so full with loving. And all I can do is bring this death. There now. Still now. Still. Pull away. Come away, death. She's looking at me. Always they look at me. The women, when dead. This one, mouth gaping open, tongue projecting like a spike. Drop of little white spittle on the end of it, the milky grey of... Pull back now. Ease away. Track backwards, out, out, down, 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 backward, out into the street. Not I did that up there. Someone else up there did that. Not me. I'm only the director here.
Stills. Color. A woman strangled in an upright chair. Purple contusion around the neck. Eyes wide open. Mouth gaping. Tongue protruding. Camera rightward. Color. A woman, dark-haired, face tilted upward, eyes meeting ours. In moment of her sinking to a checkered floor, her dress billowing open about her like a purple flower. Color. A woman lies, eyes wide open, alive, but unseeing. Hair disarranged, head wounded and pecked, body and greenish-yellow clothing rent and clawed. Black and white, a woman lying head down on the floor beneath a lavatory bowl, face twisted sideways, one eye staring at us. Dead. Unseeing. Color. Body of a blonde woman. Clothed in grey. Fallen. Broken. And splayed on a clay-tiled roof far below.
Photography. Baron Ventimiglia.
Photography, Jack Cox. Jack Cox.
Bernard Knowles,
Camera operator, Leonard South.
Director of photography, John Warren.
John L. Russell.
Director of photography, Robert Burks. Rudolph Matte.
Ted Tesslaff.
Jack Cawdon.
Robert Burks.
I glide a ghost among the graves, cardinal graves. Here's one fresh dug for a woman I had lately strangled. What was her name? And this side too, an open grave. Who should be lying here? Mom. This is not the graveyard of my dream. No flowers here. No sun. No haze nor loveliness. Light, lightless. Cold, dead. Everywhere these open graves. Beds of cold clay. Deep, damp, and narrow. Each one alone. A woman I have
So many.
So many and so many. Who would have thought the old man to have had so much murder in him? Who would have thought Hitchcock had undone so many?
No!
Who did this? All these he did, the other man. Him. Look, behind me. My shadow. There. No one. Reverse the shot. No one. I am my own shadow here. Hitchcock, away. Stumble away. Out of this garden and be gone. Look there. Entering at the graveyard gate. Tall figure in black. Choosing this path toward me. Dark. Terrible. Avoid him. Stumble aside among these graves. This other path, avoid him. There, look, this path now, he's coming toward me. Aside, away. Hurry, stumble past stones and crosses, grave to grave. Whatever path I reach, this is the path he is coming toward me. Oh, this is a major dream. High angle this would need to make its moral meaning visible. Above me, small amidst these stones and crosses and these open graves, pitifully stumbling path to avoid my judge, and every avoiding only brings me nearer him. Grave here, I'm falling into the ground.
Exterior. Idyllic. Gardens. Bushes. flowers. Large white building. Nurses leaving, entering. Interior. White. Clinically clean. A private room. A vase of flowers. Hitchcock in his chair. Slumped. Listless. Face gray as death. Around him, men and women in white coats, conferring.
The strangest case.
What do you make of him?
Dr. Carroll? Dr. Bailey?
Acute melancholia.
Allied to a guilt complex.
Dr. Oakland? Dr. Chekhov?
Psychosomatically induced paralysis.
He'll never walk.
His mother killed the girl.
Dr. Bergman?
If only we could unearth the memory that paralyzes him.
At the door, half open, a gaggle of women.
Oh, look, it's Alfred.
Little Alfred.
It's Alfred in his chair.
Alfred, you wicked boy. What have you been doing?
Alfred, my kind.
Poor little boy. All his life spent living in this chair.
Alfred, they don't put you in this chair for nothing. Alfred, what have you been doing?
They say only another shock will cure him.
Another shock? Why, what was the first shock?
What's that, Alfred, dear? Trying to kill you? Why, who's trying to kill you, dear? These nice doctors? You nice doctors aren't trying to kill my son.
Dark corridor. Approaching slowly. Darkening from the dark. Horrific. Female-seeming form.
What are you doing? Away from there! Who are all you ladies at my Alfred's door?
Oh, we're his mother.
We're his mother.
We're his mother. I'm Jessica Brenner.
I'm Jesse Royce Thornhill.
Madame Leopoldina Sebastian.
Barbara Bell Wood.
Marion Anthony.
Anthony Bates!
We're his mother.
We're his mother.
I am his mother. I am his mother. The little boy's best friend. The first Mrs. Hitchcock. Poor Alfred. All his life in this chair. Fred, love. Fred, son. You don't know I'm here, do you? Don't even know I'm here.
Well, I'm here. Mother's here. Fred, wake up. Fred, it's time you got up now. Look, I brought you your tea.
Camera, low angle, from floor, looking up at Hitchcock, wakened in his chair. Alone, in room, empty. Large in foreground, fallen fragments rocking of the broken cup. Reverse shot, from above, down over Hitchcock's shoulder, to the fragments on the floor. Close side shot, angled up at Hitchcock's face. Close. Fragments on floor. Tight. Hitchcock's right eye. Fragments reflected in the iris there.
Yes. Yes.
Tight. Tight. On his hand. Pressing. Down. Heavy. All his weight. On the arm of the chair. To lever himself. Lift himself. Raise himself. Rise.
Oh, see now. The dream is broken.
Hitchcock is standing. Standing straight from his chair.
The sequence is coming. All unlocked. I see it now.
Pictorial design, Albert Whitlock.
Special photographic advisor,
Steve Iwerks.
Special sequence, John Farron.
Pictorial consultant, Saul Bass.
Dream sequence based on designs by Salvador Dali.
Processed photography, Farcio Edouard.
Pictorial designs, Albert Whitlock.
Pictorial designs.
Low angle shot, up at Hitchcock, towering above us. Hands large in foreground, hanging easy at his sides. The figure of him turning slowly and away, relaxed and easy. Tall, lean, graceful. Away in diminishing perspective and out at the ominously empty doorway. Gone.
Editing, Ivor Montague. Editor, Ivor Montague.
Charles Friend.
Editor, Bud Hoffman.
George Tomasini.
Dorothy Spencer.
Tomasini.
Where's this I am? No matter. I'm out of it now. All that crazy cabinet of Dr. Hitchcock. Out of it. And walking. Why did no one tell me I could walk before? I am walking. I am walking. Music for this.
Music by Miklos Rosa.
Franz Waxman.
Richard Adinsall.
Music scored by Bernard Herrmann. Music by Bernard Herrmann. Bernard Herrmann.
Pull out your stops for this one, Benny. Never such joy as I'm seeing now. Such loveliness. Begin black and white. Boy, fat, 15, say, waking in his little bed. Poor room, light, bleak and cold, but on his face a smile. And he's reaching both arms upward, where above him, in a gentle beam of sunlight, and this part of it's in colour, a smiling face. Her face. From the dream he's just had. Her smile. The yes of her smile. And the yes in her eyes. Last to fade. And he's smiling and reaching for that one moment. The dream's still with him. The yes of the dream. And a lift in his heart, the like he's never known. Then a change in the music here, Benny. Darkened to a minor key, whatever you composers do. The sunbeam fades. The coloured dream dissolves. Black and white again. Grey. Grey. Patterns in the distemper flaking from the wall. Faces. Skulls. Eyes. Fred? A voice is calling his mother downstairs. And beyond the little square window, cold, sunless London winter morning light. Fred, she's calling. Fred, you have to hurry now. Remember what today... But I won't hear her. I won't. I want to lie on as I am. Lie on and hold to my dream. To the... To this feeling I've never had before.
heart. Because it is the heart where it happens. It is the heart.
Fred, it's time you got up now. You know today your father's to be buried.
Father. Buried. Father. Dead. I can't quite make that real yet. Only a boy. And my father dying. And all I want to do is think of her and think and think of her.
Fred, I've brought you your tea. I've put your tea by your bed.
I'm up. I'm washed and dressed. I'm walking, but I'm not here. Where I am is in my head with her. I stand at the top of those stairs, so many of them down.
Fred, where are you?
Once I set foot on those, make my way down those.
Fred, boy, you ever coming?
The dream will be gone.
Come down those stairs and get your breakfast.
Breakfast? Oh, what do I want with eating? Now I have this in the heart. I want to think of her and think of her and think of her forever. And there's this bleeding woman, neighbor woman from next door, standing against that wall and yakking. Thinking she's been a comfort to the grieving widow, and all she does is stand there yakking, yakking, yakking about when her own husband died.
And death can't take back the love you've had. Yak, 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 love. Yak, 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 love. Yak, yak, love. Yak, 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 love. Love!
And it goes through me, that word. Love. Through my heart. A knife. That's what I got. What they call love, the name for, it's this. I've got it. I've got it too. It come for me too. Love didn't leave me out. This is the BBC Home Service. Here is the news. This cold December morning, to Alfred J. Hitchcock, a fat boy, aged 15, of 517 the High Road, Leytonstone, love come. It did change the world, that love that came that morning. Look what it did, that love, to the face of the world, that range of mountains there. Strange shape and coloured mountains. There, rear window. That one away there, north by northwest. That high one, vertigo. And there, look, and there. The love of Alfred Hitchcock put those mountains there. I don't know what you do about music for this next bit, Benny. The graveyard scene. We're all in black. It's very cold. The light is dead. My father's about to be buried from sight forever. And I'm still seeing her. In that cold winter place, beneath that cold, mean sky, what I see, her face in delicate colour, transparency and haze, and a light in her eyes that's almost laughing, smiling at me. Yes. Across that open grave and saying yes. The yes of the dream. And in that wooden box, my father. All those years he'd been my living father. Cold, dead, stiff, sightless now. And his balls had begun me. Never quite could visualize that to him somehow. Being lowered now into that pit, his grave. So deep, so dark and wet in there. And all I want to do is lift my eyes and think of her. Of her. Of her. And of her. And not even kiss her or anything, but hold her and hold her and hold her forever in my arms. Oh, that's so wrong to be smitten this way. This very morning, my father who got me goes down into the earth. Oh, that's so wrong. There now. It's all out now. There now. There. I've been faithful. I've lived my life imprisoned in a chair, loving only you, reaching out, caressing, shaping only you, and with my eye alone and through a lens of glass. Yet, if only the once, only the once I could touch you. Somewhere you walk this earth. Well, I walk it too, in the world, lean, free, and easy. All my life I could have walked as I walk now. Who was lied to me? Said Alfred, you are paralyzed. And not fat neither. No, not fat at all. Horrible delusion, all that. A lie. How could I have been so deluded so long that I was ugly? Well, I'm awake and seeing now. I'm walking. No. No. Impossible.
Camera. Among the human traffic. Figure of a young woman passing before us. Glimpsed and gone. Glimpsed and gone. Now he.
No. No, it cannot be.
She, passing on before us, there. Her hair. Chestnut. Auburn. Free. Dress, greenish brown.
Oh, she's another woman, surely. Yet it is she. It is. It is.
He's coming after. We begin to track.
She's here. She's here. She's alive and real. Look there. Look there.
She passing yonder. He coming after. Closer. She. Closer there now. He...
That auburn of your hair, all wrong. Gold was the color of the hair you had. Golden shall you be again. And the dress of those cheap shoes will change all that. Oh, look and see. Turn and see. How you have savaged me.
How with your beauty you have gored me, and I follow. Open and bleeding, all alive again. Ah, the joy that I am racked and rent with you, the joy. Where's this you leave me? A room? Your room? Shadowed. Night. You sit in silhouette, facing left. That's ominous. Before your window there. Outside, a colored neon sign that's switching. Green, red, green, red. Go, stop. But I'll say no, no more. This time I reach. This hand, these hands I reach. To you. This is really happening. I'm touching you. I'm taking you in my arms. You raise your lips to mine. One kiss, and a door will open in me that I did not know I had. And a deeper door within even that. Door within door within door. Dissolving me. No, not a room. My arms embrace emptiness. What have I done?
Miriam Haynes. Margot Quince.
Madeline Elster.
Marion Crane.
Melanie Daniels. Ma? Ma? Margaret? Martha? Marnie?
Margot. Marion?
Marnie! Madeline? Ma? Ma?
Camera. Silence. Empty studio. Yesterday, for the first, only, and last time in his life, Mr. Hitchcock made a sexual approach to his leading actress. She has, of course, repulsed him. We all know it happened. It's very embarrassing, but work on the picture must go on. Camera. High angle. Studio below us. One by one, the crew assembling. Slowly, we begin to descend above the set. Lights are coming on, flickering, testing, adjusting. Camera tracks are being laid. We approach below us there, the familiar figure of the master in his chair. Upright, motionless, dark suit, impeccable. Immaculate white shirt. Dark tie, broad-striped. Hands on his knees. Posture of one focused intensely within while waiting for all detail of the shot to be prepared. Last. Arriving on the set. The actress herself. Costume. Dark two-piece in heavy tweed pattern, dark brown and yellow. That from medium shot distance will begin to give effect of black. Dark brown wig, likewise effect becoming black. In the crook of her left arm, a clutch bag, yellow. Throughout the shot, she will be moving away, her back to the camera. her back to the director. Just as well. They can never face each other now.
They are thinking, I did that thing yesterday. I can feel their eyes burning at me, saying I touched that woman. It was that naughty little boy. All I know is dirty little mind. What he's thinking every time I'm setting up a shot. Isn't this like, what you do with a prostitute, he's saying? What you're doing with this woman through your lens, shaping her body to the shot, this part of her body, that part of her body, to your particular fancy. Only what you're putting in is your camera eye. That's what he's saying. That dirty little boy. I'm not with him. I'm not thinking that. I'd never think a thought like that. I'll just sit here. I'll just direct. I don't touch anybody.
Sound's running. Camera running.
I won't lift a finger to anyone at all. I'll just speak when I'm asked. They'll see it couldn't possibly be me.
We've come round now behind his head to look over his shoulder at the world he sees. Before his camera, a fragment of constructed set. Section of empty railway platform stretching away. Design foreshortened. Alongside, left and right, studio facades of still, dead trains. Their windows painted blind. There, where railway tracks, perspective unnaturally near, converge. A painted backdrop. City skyline. Formalized. Expressionistic. Lifeless. Close before camera. Her back to him. In dark wig. And two-piece. The actress. Waits.
I was never in the world. I was not made for that world of living and loving. The joy of all that was never to be for me. Fact. A grievous lack, but nothing to be done. Is this my gift? The fruit of it, or my loss, the price of my gift. No knowing. No matter, anyway. On. Come, camera, tool of my craft. Let's up and be doing. You and I will make a loveliness. We'll give them dreams. As for her, beauty is cruel. Oh, my miserable need. No. On. Give on. Action.
The Love Song of Alfred J. Hitchcock by David Rudkin. Alfred Hitchcock, Richard Griffiths. Camera, Michael Fitzgerald. Screenwriter, Clark Peters. Alma, Gillian Goodman. Priest, Frank Grimes. Mother, Kate Binchy. Alfred as a Boy, Judy Bennett. L.A. Lawyer, Dominic Taylor. Many Voices, Steve Nallen. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Love Song of Alfred J. Hitchcock was directed in our Pebble Mill Studios by Philip Martin.